Geek.
The only way to be
on Sci-Fi and Swing.
Joy 94.9.
Out of yourself a secret.
What was I supposed to do? Just let him die?
Where do I come from?
You just have to decide what kind of man you want to grow up to be, Clark. Whoever that man is going to change the world.
And if the world found out who I really was, they'd reject me.
Citizens. He will look like you, but he is not one of you. To those of you who know of his location, the fate of your planet rests in your hands. To Kal-El, I say this.
Surrender within 24 hours, or watch this world suffer the consequences.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's the Man of Steel. It is Zack Snyder colliding with Christopher Nolan. It is Man of Steel, the 2013 American superhero film directed by Snyder and produced, as I said, by Nolan, Christopher Nolan, of course, of Batman fame, and scripted by David S. Goyer. It's based on the DC Universe, the DC Comics character Superman, and the film is a reboot of the Superman movie series from Superman 1978, the movie. It portrays the character's origin stories. That's the similarity. And it stars Henry Cavill in the title role with Amy Adams as Lois Lane. Michael Shannon is General Zod. Diane Lane is Martha Kent. And Kevin Costner appears as the humble and wise sage Jonathan Kent, almost like a Yoda. Lawrence Fishburne as Perry White from The Daily Planet. And Russell Crowe appears again and again as Jor-El. So Man of Steel is out today. That's right, today in Oz and Australia down under here is out Thursday the 27th in most cinemas around the country, distributed by Roadshow, and it's from the House of Warner Brothers. Look, we know about the planet Krypton facing imminent disaster and destruction and doom, an unstable core. These are the origin stories of something called a Superman. And Superman's origins are very old indeed. It's 75 years since the birth of this particular iconic hero, donning that cape so red and the blue outfit with the underwear on the outside, the red underwear. But this is Man of Steel, and Man of Steel doesn't wear his underwear on the outside. And this is Sonia on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Now, of course, our weekly episode will be podcasted after this. And I do include a much more abridged and conversational sort of review. So I thought, you know what? It's a big movie for the year. Let's get onto it and try and attempt to do a fuller and review and some of the points that I missed out on with the live show on Tuesday, just gone, the 25th. Now, we all know, like I said, the origins of a Superman. This is the American fictional character, a comic book superhero who appeared pretty much from 1938, June, in fact, when he appears in something called Action Comics number 1. Of course, it's 1933 when Siegel and Shuster, that's Joe Shuster, the famous artist, Jerry Siegel, come up with the story of the superhero, this man that's able to be impenetrable, unbreakable. He can't fly at that early time. He doesn't get to fly until the 1940s, many years later in comics. But they were high school kids, no doubt, in 33 when they came up with this idea. Raised in Cleveland, Ohio, in a predominantly Jewish background, 70% Jewish, in fact, in Cleveland. And of course, as immigrant children, they did have those experiences of being outsiders, left out, fringe dwellers, even the persecutions that were going on with Jewish people in Europe did affect a lot of American Jews, of course. And that effect led to things like Superman. This was the hero that would save America no matter what America did. So it's a pre-war concept, and Superman is all about American industrialization of a military complex. I think I did that back to front, so apologies to Noam Chomsky. All right, so the plot is for Man of Steel, the 2013 kicker. It's pretty much infant Kal-El is one of the very first babies to be born naturally after many, many generations. And these aliens on Krypton, they're humanoids. Well, they're human by all counts, except for that exceptional strength, naturally. They endure, and there is a lot of political unrest, as we shown in the depiction in the film. And of course, Russell Crowe appears as young Clark, or Kal-El's dad, Jor-El. Now, he is an advisor or a top man to the political cronies, who apparently are indulging in far too much raping of the resources of Krypton. In other words, taking out too much of kryptonite from the core of the planet. It's collapsing in on itself, as it would do in this particular story. Now, as we know, the infant Kal-El is jettisoned in a little launch pod from his mother and father's home of Krypton as Krypton disintegrates. No spoilers, really. Well, except we all know what happens pretty much to Krypton. It meets its end, of course. But it's not all doom and gloom, because of the little infant baby, Kal-El, the chosen one, the special child, finds himself plummeting to Earth, of all places, Kansas. And of course, that's reminiscent of Wizard of Oz, but nonetheless, lands in Kansas and is raised by the Kent family, humble farmers in a small community, small enough to be called Smallville. So it's there that he's raised, but he's an exceptional kid. And in the film Man of Steel, we do see him doing some amazing things. There are a lot of flashbacks in this movie, which worked quite well. It almost had a Terrence Malick feel to it. But Snyder does flashback quite a bit in his films, apart from Watchmen, maybe not so much. It's kind of effective because it does show the growing up, the puberty, the difficulty that a young Clark or and unknown to him, a superhero alien Kal-El. Growing up in little old Kansas, there are things that he just, doesn't quite grasp, including those X-ray vision powers and extrasensory perception with his hearing. So a little bit of crazy time and locking himself inside high school. I guess it was a cleaning room. But Diane Lane is his mother. She's very careworn, and she loves to save her son. There's echoes of bullying, and some advocate groups, and might even be Advocate magazine online, has suggested this is a great metaphor for what it is like to be a young gay male growing up in the US, in rural parts of the US. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but it does make for a nice little additive to a story that, to me, maybe it's just outdated. Maybe it's had its time. You be the judge if you see this film, Man of Steel. Well, look, it's the most anticipated film version of an origin story of the superhero in such a long time. It's a grand story, but for me, like I'm about to say, it was a bit of a grand disappointment. I'm coming from this as a perspective as a film buff and someone who's pretty passionate, or likes to think they are, about cinema. I'm not the huge comic fan that you are, and I don't know as much about the Superman ins and outs since his birth 75 years ago. The thing is, I don't want to upset too many of you listeners, but in today's world, 2013, in this new millennium post September 11, is the relevance of this particular superhero, well, is it relevant? Should Hollywood be spending oodles of cash on something that may not even be what we need now? In our tech-savvy and equality-driven and PC world and media, do we need to be waiting for a blockbuster? Is it that much? Is it that important? Can't we just download it? I mean, I know that's wrong, but can we just move on? That's what I'm thinking. So, look, I understand the need for heroes, and this guy, Clark Kent, I can understand we need heroes, and rich capitalist male heroes like Batman from the DC Universe and Iron Man from the Marvelverse are also a bit of a capitalist, makes weapons, hello. I can understand the relevance of those ones and the journey from the 20th century to the 21st, especially after the collapse of Enron and Wall Street and Occupy. And there was a strong Occupy element that comes through in Nolan's last Batman film. It made sense and it resonated. But in this time and age, I mean, really? A superhero that defends and protects the military complex of the US? I'm not sure if this is really what we want to go down, and I'm not sure if this is really what we need to explore in cinema. And so why do we celebrate a character who is not only so masculine, but also so, you know, forgiving of what the United States does represent as far as its military side of things and its military might, and we can sort of stretch that to its foreign policy? That doesn't quite make sense. There's too many metaphors like that in this film. And he's so, you know, unforgiving as well to those who do want to hurt human friends. Maybe Zod and his mates are not that bad, and maybe they actually, you know, they're the foreign alien that's just trying to adapt but bringing their own culture. Does that mean we don't let people bring their culture to an American ideal? Instead, they must be fully integrated, rip off their oxygen masks as such, and just take the Earth atmosphere, love it or leave it sort of thing? I do question that. So why then should we invest emotions, time and money to bring out of the mothballs the old Superman suit, minus the red undies as I mentioned, and defend him? You know, he's a warmonger, is he not? You know, a warmonger to one of the most powerful nations. Look, there isn't much diversity in this film. It certainly isn't anything like Sucker Punch, which is the last film Snyder brought out, and it's certainly not Alan Moore's Watchmen, which I totally loved, of course. Isn't Superman just a stooge for foreign policy for the US, and the brand of might is right? Is Zod the wayward kryptonite person just a troublesome foreign terrorist that must be speedily dealt with instead of concentrating on negotiating properly? How else do you deal with someone who is, an alien after all? You've got to take him down. So what do you say? Well, I say that after 75 years, do we have to fall on our knees and submit to the masculine hyperpower of super aliens anyway? Aren't there other superheroes or superheroines even that are more courageous and more down to earth? And it would have been great to see Hollywood invest into a female one, and something that we can reinvigorate and also will reflect our environment that we live in today. I know I've said this before in other podcasts and in other weekly episodes of Sci-Fi and Scream, but I am still waiting for our female superheroes, our Batwoman, our Wonder Woman's to be up on the big cinema screen. When will it happen? I'm just sounding tired now. But in the pop culture world, there's a lot of changes that need to come. And if geeks are going to be united, and if geeks are really pushing for equality, we must see our female and woman characters on the big screen. We've got to see those caped women. We've got to see those tough women showing to be tough and not just a sidekick. Sorry, Joss Whedon, but come on. The Avengers, one female superhero, Black Widow, that's just not good enough. I'm probably just being jaded and cynical and just way too much 21st century, really, I guess. But I do want to see a more modern reflection of ideas and modern stories and contemporary concepts. So the other thing is Amy Adams' character, Lois Lane, that she portrays. Look, she's still in heels, tiptoeing around to a man who's in his underwear. It's super underwear, mind you. It almost looks like chainmail. It's very nice. He's an incredibly charismatic looking and fine looking strapping bloke as Henry Cavill as Clark Kent / Superman. No doubt about it. He's pretty as could be expected. He has a fine chin line. There's no doubt. And in one very cringeworthy scene near the end, spoiler alert, one of the military jarheads or military officers who happens to be a female says, "But he's hot," about Superman. I couldn't even laugh. There's just not enough humor in this. It's just a little too vacuous. And like I said, Amy Adams, what's going on there? We do enjoy her as being a nice sidebeat, upbeat type of humorous female character in most of her roles. She's just dead boring. She's a very attractive woman, there is no doubt about that, but seriously, the kiss? It just didn't add up. And she is a fine actress, like I said, but I felt she never had a chance to really bristle her female powers of intellect and discernment. I mean, she's supposed to be a journalist at one of the top journalistic papers and media publishing houses, the Daily Planet of Metropolis, and yet she's still running after a man. It just didn't work for me. I am cynical, I do admit it. Now, why have we got a male to female romance story for a start? Perhaps I'm being too serious about this, but let's face it, a lot of money and resources has gone into this reinvention of the superhero, and it's just fell a bit flat. Apart from some of the CGI effects, which I must admit, when he first starts to learn to fly properly, the Man of Steel, Henry Cavill, it's wonderful. He's there on the ice and he's just taking off. I mean, there's some very inspiring and clever scenes there of when he's flying around buildings as well, of Metropolis buildings, that is. But the CGI at the beginning of the film on Kryptonite, clumsy leftovers, like a leftover dinner at George Lucas's ranch. Skywalker, that is. Nah, didn't go with me. And the headdresses of the political cronies, I mean, really, where was Natalie Portman? Junk. The action scenes, far too many. Just far too many. And as a friend of mine said, way too long. This film was too long with the action scenes, and I wanted to see more of the flashbacks. I wanted to see the humanity of Clark Kent growing up. I did enjoy those, if enjoy is the word. I wanted to see more of that connection, and I wanted to see Amy Adams crack some jokes. Sorry, I want more humanity in my alien superheroes. Okay, so let's hope that we will get a Wonder Woman or a Batwoman, eh? Just don't know when, and don't hold your breath unless you are a superhero. So it's hard to overlook that it's hard to be a replacement to Christopher Reeve, and even the TV version, The Adventures of Superman, George Reeves. But Henry works hard, and I must admit, I did feel a bit sorry for him with all those action CGI roles. He must have been exhausted on those wires and green screens. Now for the outcome. I'm giving 2 out of 5, or 6 out of 10, for the earnest efforts of Henry Cavill and Amy Adams, and of course for Fishburne. Lawrence Fishburne, we don't see enough of you on the screen. But minus the super hammy acting of Michael Shannon as the villain Zod and his evildoers, that was way too camp and way too drawn out, and they started to look, way too comical to be taken seriously as villains. So that was the Man of Steel from me. And all the details, of course, Man of Steel is out, like I said, through Warner Brothers and Roadshow Entertainment Australia, throughout Australia as of the 27th today. It's produced by Christopher Nolan, Charles Roven, Deborah Snyder, Emma Thomas, screenplay by David S. Goyer and Nolan, and of course directed by Zack Snyder. Based on Superman by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, stars Henry Cavill, Amy Adams, Michael Shannon, Kevin Costner, Diane Lane, Lawrence Fishburne, Anchi Trower, she was amazing, Ayelet Zura, Christopher Maloney, Russell Crowe. Music by Hans Zimmer. Cinematography, Amir Mokri. Editing by David Brenner. Legendary Pictures, Syncopy and DC Entertainment Studios. Released June 14 in North America. It runs 143 minutes. And the budget? Only $225 million. It's in English and it's everywhere. This is Sonia and this is Sci-Fi and Scream with your Man of Steel roundup here on Joy in 94.9.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Are you prepared for the zombie apocalypse? In case of emergency, break glass and tune in to Joy 94.9 on a Tuesday night for Sci-Fi and Screaming.